Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
White Sox! White Sox! Go, go, White Sox!
The ball hit deep, way back! Deep to left field!
Holy cow! Carlton Fisk has put the White Sox ahead!
Jimenez leaves the ballpark! You can't put it on the ball!
We got a chance to do something real special.
All right, sit back, relax, and strap it down. It's time for the White Sox Talk Podcast.
Well, the day began with Bob Nightingale reporting that the White Sox don't view themselves as the favorites for Bryce Harper or Manny Machado. It ends with Jim Bowden, former GM of the Reds and Nationals, saying the White Sox are the front runner for Bryce Harper. Welcome to the wild and wacky world of the winter meetings, and welcome to the White Sox Talk Podcast, brought to you by Wintrust Community Bank, home of White Sox checking with free ATMs nationwide. Go to the special White Sox webpage, www.wintrust.com/socks. Chuck Garfine with Ryan McGuffey and Vinny Duber. What a day, huh? What do you think about this? They're not the favorites. They're the front runner. They're in between. What are the White Sox doing right now with Bryce Harper?
How can anyone be the favorite? Like, that's the way I look at it. I don't think, like, tomorrow he's going to wake up and go, you know what, I was thinking, I'm kind of, like, leaning towards the Phillies today. You know, I'm going to go that way. I think what's to make of all of these rumors and Bowden doing that tonight is that the White Sox are legitimate. Like, that's the way I keep taking all of these hot takes, is that clearly the White Sox have a multi-year, a 10-year offer for a ton of money. And at the end of the day, he may not come to the White Sox, but it's going to be a hell of a hard pass is what I think it's going to be.
Well, the notion that I keep getting a little bit more and more as we move along day by day here with a new report seemingly every hour on is that maybe money is going to be the be-all, end-all here, and maybe the White Sox, because of their complete lack of long-term financial commitments, just go out and offer Bryce Harper the biggest contract in the history of baseball, the biggest contract that anybody's going to offer him, and maybe that's it. Ball game over, you know what I mean? That could be why. I mean, that's the reason why I think a lot of people assumed they would be a candidate in here, and nationally kind of a surprise candidate. We knew what their financial situation was, but I think that's why people are thinking that, and I think maybe that is what's keeping this ball rolling.
I don't disagree with you that money obviously is always going to be the end-all be-all, but after listening to Scott Boras today and some of the other things, the White Sox plan, like if you're looking at, we're always talking about the window, the other teams that we're talking about, their window, with the exception of the Phillies, their windows have been open, the Dodgers, the Yankees. So you got to look long-term at this 3, 4, 5 years down the line. If those windows start to close, the White Sox is going to be wide open at that point. So that's something to look at, too.
All right, well, here on the podcast, we're going to play what Jim Bowden said and talk about what it might mean. Plus, Rick Hahn's general reaction to that report, he responded to that, and the idea of being a front runner or not. And then later, Harper's agent, Scott Boras, was here at the winter meetings. He talked about the market for Bryce Harper, how much Bryce is looking at a team's farm system and its future in making his decision. And Scott Boras also had some interesting thoughts about Jerry Reinsdorf. But first, here is Jim Bowden saying, just giving his thoughts about the White Sox on Wednesday on the CBS Sports Network that put White Sox fans into a frenzy.
Well, the front runner right now, believe it or not, is the Chicago White Sox. They're the team right now with the checkbooks that open. They're being very aggressive. They have met with Bryce Harper away from this hotel. In fact, they met at the area resort, and they've done a very good job of selling. One of the things that they are pointing out is how good their minor league system is. So there's a possibility the White Sox may end up with the best offer, the most years, the most dollars, even though they're not ready to win. Now, I've said all along the best three teams for Bryce Harper were the Dodgers, the Yankees, and the Cubs. But here's the problem. The Yankees' Brian Cashman has made it clear they're not interested. Theo Epstein and the Cubs aren't playing. They don't have the resources to do it. And the Dodgers say they have to move a couple of outfielders before it can get done. The Phillies are in, like the White Sox, with their checkbook, and they want to be aggressive. So I think when we look at it, right now we only have three teams that we know of that are willing to bid more than what the Nationals did, which was 10 years, 300. And although I think of the three teams, the Dodgers are the best fit, we don't know if they're willing to play at the level Chicago is. So this is going to be very fascinating to watch how this plays out. I don't get the impression they're close to a deal at this point.
All right, so a thought on what Jim Bowen said right there. Where is he getting it from? Who was in the building here today?
Some guy.
This is an idea, a theory that I have, and someone told me this theory, mm-hmm. whose opinion I trust, that mm-hmm. maybe Scott Boras is trying to drive up the price of his client by telling him, hey, so-and-so are the favorites. And if that's the case, maybe you get more people, more teams involved, or drive up the price because there's a report that the White Sox are the favorites. What do you think?
Yeah, of course. He's doing his job. Mm-hmm. But that's what I was going back to the pitch. I think, I mean, Scott Boras said today, 2,000 to 3,000 pages of information have been handed to Bryce Harper, and he's very involved in the Q&A portion of these sit-downs and these pitches. He knows the White Sox farm system, at least probably the top 10 players, the top 10 prospects in the system. Maybe not as well as we do, but I guarantee you right now if Bryce Harper was sitting here, he could probably give you a legitimate background on each player and tell you what the ETA is, because it sounds like that's the kind of investment he's made in himself, which a lot of times these guys is just like, most money, most years, let's go. I'm really intrigued by that as somebody who's hoping that he lands with the White Sox, that he's fully vested into, okay, if I'm going here and I want to win multiple titles, who are these guys and how close and how much are they going to help? And maybe some of these guys can help us get other guys.
Yeah, we're going to hear Boras talking about that later, but you got a thought on this?
Yeah, I think, and we've talked about this a couple times, we've mentioned it here this week, I think you're seeing other teams falling out or trying to publicly, at the very least, take themselves out of the running for this. And as you see these contenders dropping, there are only a few teams left that are publicly kind of, and the White Sox aren't even publicly in on him, but, you know, that are not saying no. And so I think when you see a comment like the White Sox are the front runners, the explanation is, well, the Yankees say they're out, the Cubs say they're out, the Cardinals say they're out. Who's left?
The other thing I thought that was that I learned from Bowden's comment there is that the White Sox met again with him this week at the Aria.
Yeah.
So I thought that was...
And how would he know that?
Reassuring. Not telling, but reassuring.
Yeah.
That they followed up on their November 19th meeting in Las Vegas with another meeting here at the Aria, and there was a report out yesterday that Boras had been setting up shop in camp with Harper there, but the White Sox checked back in. They sat back down. We don't know the extent of the meeting. I'm sure it wasn't a full – maybe it was just like a recheck-in. But, look, this is going to come down to the wire. I think it's clear at this point that the Chicago White Sox are the team – are one of the final teams at the end of the day that Bryce Harper will be checking off. Whether it's circling or checking off, the White Sox are in the finalists.
Yeah, all the signs point
no doubt
to that. The Sox are doing everything that they can. How, what it's going to take to sign them, that's the big question.
I think the White Sox have made their offer. There's not going to be a back and forth. I think the White Sox, I think they put out a number. This is just me speculating. This is not sourced information. I'm gonna do something crazy, like 10 years, $400 million, mm-hmm. and it's eye popping. But it's eye popping because it's kind of like we're serious. This is our offer. But if the Phillies were to go 450, the White Sox's offer is 10 for $400. I really believe it's something like that. Do you think that?
I think. Well, so Boras said that they are talking money. They're talking years right now with the team. So
yeah,
this is happening.
Done meeting with the potential teams.
Right, so we're like in the next phase of, okay, let's get down to brass tacks here. What I think is the White Sox are not going to go chasing.
Right.
They're not going to chase. They're going to look at what the value they feel Bryce Harper is. I don't know what that is in their minds. But they're not going to chase. I'd like them to chase, but
well, you
it's
say
not
that,
my money.
But when you say they're not going to chase, you say, like, here's our offer. But it's not. You're, yeah. you're not. I don't think you're going to threaten either. You're not going to go take it or leave it.
No. Yeah. I mean, there's room to negotiate.
Yes.
But I don't. If this ends up being okay,
They're not going to let Scott Boras be an auctioneer.
Correct. There we go. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Again, we're going to hear from Boras in a second. I want to get to Rick Hahn responding to the report that the White Sox are front runners. Here's what he said Wednesday when asked not about being a front runner specifically for Bryce Harper, but considering Rick does follow Twitter, he knows what's going on. This is his answer when asked about the rumors about him being a front runner for a so-called free agent with the last name of Harper.
The best I can, I try to block it all out. The texts from my dad and my kids about what we may be doing or may not be doing, is I need to respond to those. I can't ignore them like the ones from you guys. But I harken back to when I was 10, 12, 13 years old, running home and calling sports phone during the winter meetings to hear what the latest updates were on various trade rumors. So I get it. It's part of the job. I try to tune it out. I don't put too much, stock in the White Sox are the front runners for this, or the White Sox even the White Sox are interested in that, because a lot of the times it tends to be inaccurate. But it's the nature of the business. It's that time of year, which is a lot of fun for fans. So I try not to begrudge any part of it.
It's funny that Rick, there's that fan still in him who remembers the 12-year-old. And by the way, if you don't know what sports phone is, you guys are looking at me like, what's sports
phone?
No,
I know what sports phone is.
Okay, so in the early 1980s, late 70s, I was young enough, or I should say old enough. I was old enough to do sports phone. Rick and I are about the same age.
I called sports phone as a kid.
You did? So I did it for a while. Okay, yeah. So that's how you would get.
I was on the tail end.
You would get your sports news, if you couldn't wait till the morning to get your morning paper, your only way to get news right away was by calling sports phone. And Rick Hahn did that in Chicago.
So you would take the needle off of your police album.
Yes.
And then go ahead and call a number, and they would just tell you who was traded that day?
Yeah, or whatever was going on. And by the way, I still remember the number. I think it was 1-900-976-1313. Or maybe it was 1-800.
Bruce Levine would be on the other end.
Bruce Levine, David Schuster, I think, did it. I mean, there's.
No, I'm not. Wow, that's a real thing.
Yeah, that was a real thing. So another thing that Rick Hahn said in the press conference, you actually asked a good question, which was, he's talking about premium talent. That's what they're looking to sign long term. And you asked, what?
Well, yeah. I mean, Rick has been very specific in saying that we're going to go after a guy that fits our long term plan. We're not going to go after just random free agents to fill up the roster, right? And so we have all taken that to mean Bryce Harper and Manny Machado, but with a hole in their pitching rotation still, even after the trade for Ivan Nova, I asked him, is there a starting pitcher that fits that description? And with Dallas Keuchel still on the free agent market, you'd think perhaps the answer would be yes. Rick Hahn said no. Rick Hahn said he does not see the White Sox having the opportunity to sign a long-term premium-type talent for the starting rotation.
All right, so we had talked about him being a great fit because he's been through a rebuild and saw the championship on the tail end of that with the Astros, but it looks like Keuchel will be signing somewhere else. All right, coming up next on the White Sox Talk podcast, we're going to hear from Scott Boras. Interesting thoughts from him here on the White Sox Talk podcast, back in a moment.
Keep your money local. Bring it home to a Wintrust Community Bank, home of White Sox checking with free ATMs nationwide. Find out more at wintrust.com/socks. Members FDIC.
All right, back on the White Sox Talk podcast, Scott Boras, when he arrives here at the winter meetings, it is a spectacle. It is an experience. It's basically him standing on a riser or a box, whatever they can find. And
a
camera case.
They had to swap out the box. Yeah, they had boxes, and they needed a bigger box.
Yeah, they needed a bigger box.
There were how many reporters and camera guys? What do you think?
3,000-4,000?
No, come on.
3,000-4,000.
What's that, Scott? 10 cameras, but how many media members?
I'd say there's 100.
100.
Easy. Is that too much? I couldn't move.
We were all right up in the front row.
Right,
so
things.
Me being the stupid guy, I said to Guff, since this is your first winter meetings, you're going to be the guy that has to hold the mic and deal with this. But I wanted you to experience it. So I walked over there with you, and before I know it, I'm now surrounded. I'm in the scrum. I'm living this Scott Boras experience that I didn't really need to experience.
But I was front and center.
You were front and center.
Make you proud?
You know what you did? You made me proud.
We didn't talk about that at
you
all.
You know what? You not only because I ducked out after 20 minutes. I was about to pass out. You stayed
landlocked
the whole time.
No, I was at some point I kind of elbowed the person behind me. I was like, I'm going to pass out.
So you did leave.
We stayed for like 50 of the 59 minutes. Wow. I would have bailed happily at like 40 or actually 30. But he did get into a couple things later, which was good, but yeah, I mean, at some point, it was getting a little gamey.
Yeah,
and I needed to move.
Yes, yes. I felt like I was getting sick. I felt like whoever has germs around me, I'm inhaling them.
I had like a, you know, when you're vertically challenged like I am, you know.
Yeah.
And there's a 6'4" man holding a microphone over your shoulder, and you just got nothing but armpit for 52 minutes. That's a tough go.
Yeah, and by the way, Jesse Rogers of ESPN, Jesse Rogers of ESPN owes me, I think, $100.
Let's get it tonight then.
Because
let's make it right.
He saw where I was. I was in a prime position. Jesse was in a terrible position. He said, "Hey Garfine, can you take my mic? What do you want?" I go, "I want $100 if I'm going to hold your mic."
Yeah, I think we got some words with Jesse after this.
Okay. So $100. That's what it takes. This is how we do things here. So everyone listening, okay, I'm sorry it's taking this long. Here is Scott Boras on many topics about why Bryce Harper would be could be a match for the White Sox. Let's just be honest here, and some thoughts about Jerry Reinsdorf as well.
We've pretty much met with really everyone that I think we need to meet in the process, and so we're really in the process of talking and negotiating terms. We've given Bryce exhaustive reviews of every organization, and he's been very studied about each, and it's certainly his evaluation that where he looks at it, and he certainly is active in dialogue and discussing that with teams. We've delivered literally well over 2,000 to 3,000 pages of information to Bryce. Well, I think Bryce is really open to the geography. What he's really looking for is the ownership to make sure that he has every opportunity to achieve his goals, to win a world championship, to play on competitive teams as best as baseball teams can be competitive annually and all those things. So it's and obviously there's a lot of owners who believe their franchises can do that. I think the effectiveness of ownership in meetings is one where they come and they talk about histories, they talk about their ability to create a winning modality that is consistent with what a club may do over a 10-15 year period. And if they can establish that and listen to it, I think when you're signing long-term contracts, you're looking at basically a franchise in the long term, not just a short term.
Scott, how would you describe your relationship with the White Sox, and in particular your professional relationship with Jerry Reinsdorf?
Oh, first of all, he's a very knowledgeable baseball person, and he's been a historic figure in the game, and certainly somebody that I enjoy talking to him all the time, so it's good.
Relationship-wise, it's been described there has been tension over the years between the two. Would you say that's accurate or fair?
Well, I don't know. I can't characterize it. I always know that whenever I call him or whatever he calls me, we have a very respectful relationship, and always have good baseball conversations, and it's good to talk to a very studied guy, and Jerry's very much that about baseball, and so I welcome talking.
He set the trend a few times with the top contracts in the game. Would you be surprised if he does that again?
I'm sure Jerry will do anything that's good business for him, I mean, he's a very successful businessman and owner, so I would certainly say that, he has certainly an opportunity to look at a star player as he's done in the past. Looking at that today, it's even a greater advantage.
So there you have it. Scott Boras, Rick Hahn, and Jim Bowden. It's quite the Rubik's Cube of ideas and possibilities. Does that make any sense?
The Rubik's Cube of ideas. I enjoyed it. I don't think it does make sense, but
was... It's like you have to solve the puzzle. That's what I'm trying to say. Because you're hearing from Rick Hahn. You're hearing from Boras. And then you got Jim Bowden in the middle saying, hey, they're the favorites.
Here's the puzzle. There's not been a lot of splashing at the winter meetings, but the headlines that have made splashes pretty much have all included the Chicago White Sox. I know that
they're in on everybody, like Bob Nightingale told
still,
us.
I mean, there's still things going on. Like, as we sit here right now,
Adam Ottavino is one.
It's going to continue. It's going to pick up steam once Harper and Machado do make their decisions. But it clearly feels like Harper's the first domino, right? I mean, Manny's setting up these visits for next week. But it seems to me that it's kind of Harper, your move, and then we go from there.
But doesn't he want to wait for Machado to sign so he knows he's number
one? I don't know.
One?
I'm starting to believe it's Harper first because I just don't see, like.
Is there really any chance that Machado would get a bigger deal than Harper? I don't
no
think
way.
So. That doesn't.
I thought before it would be a somewhat comparable deal, but now I think that ship has sailed. I really do. I think Manny is probably a $300 million player. I think it's going to cost a lot more to get Bryce Harper. I really do. I think it's going to be $350 or north of $350. What's your take?
What's my take? I mean, I think it's going to be $350 or more. It's going to be an eye-popping number.
For Harper?
For Harper.
Four.
I think four makes sense.
I think four.
It's going to, or more.
Yep.
Or more. It's because this is what Boris wants. He's got a guy who's 26 years old. It's when Alex Rodriguez signed, it was an eye-popping number. I think that's what we're going to see here with Bryce Harper.
And, Guff, we discussed something that Boris said earlier that I think was very interesting, that was GMs are going to look back on this day, on this time 5 years from now. These are pivotal moments, he said, and they're going to be like, oh, what should I have done?
How should I have positioned myself better?
Yeah.
Is my favorite bite. I remember looking.
The White Sox are doing it. The White Sox, whether they get them or not, are not going to have those kind of regrets.
Yesterday, Jason Stark told us, you know, the White Sox are looking to change the conversation. I think that's happened. I think Rick addressed it a little bit today with the way free agents are talking to the White Sox. Like, hey, he made a comment that they're looking for a guy for 1 to 2 years, and they're kind of like, well, maybe give me 3 or 4 because I kind of want to be with you for the
long
fun stuff.
Yeah,
he said
the fun stuff.
So the fact that like other players in the market know what's going on with the White Sox and they're becoming an attractive destination, or at least appear to be from what is being told and the rumors and everything going out. Look, fans aren't going to want to hear what I'm about to say, but there's light at the end of the tunnel if Bryce Harper and Manny Machado aren't a part of the Chicago White Sox future.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Because I think the White Sox have already, in some ways, scored a victory this week, and I just feel like within everybody we've talked to and everything that's going on, there's real belief. It's no longer just like the White Sox have the flexibility. It's not about flexibility anymore. I think people are impressed with their pitch, and then you've, like I said before, that window, when it's really open, it's open for a while. It's not propped.
This could
open.
Be a stepping stone for next winter. I know you don't want to wait till next winter, but if it doesn't happen this winter, you know, they're going to take a big swing next winter.
It changes nothing. If they miss out on Harper and Machado, it changes nothing for their long-term plan. Yeah. They still have Eloy Jimenez coming up who could be as good as anybody, and then you've got next winter.
Yeah.
And if you don't hit next winter, well, you've got time after that. I mean, they've got so many guys. They can project out their championship roster right now. Obviously, they're going to need to add to it, but that can come at any time.
That being said, let's get Bryce Harper.
That'll be good. And before we close the podcast, we need Ryan McGuffey to do his impression of the one and only Tim Kirkchin.
What do you want to know, Chuck?
Well, I want to know if the White Sox are going to sign Bryce Harper.
I mean, look, last week I said I made my predictions, and I've had the White Sox at 3. Do I think they're going to sign – Bryce Harper will sign with Chicago? No, I don't. But I think there's reason to like what the White Sox are doing.
All right, can I talk to Bruce Weber?
Man, you're really going back, aren't you?
Yeah, Bruce Weber.
The octave. Well, we got that one's tough, especially in a big ballroom with D. Darren and Luther. You know, if I could ride that strains the
There's
vocal.
Too much voice.
I need
you. You need to go in a room, yell for like half an hour, and then come back.
Bruce requires me going down an octave, and then also I need my voice for the next 12 hours.
Okay.
This is our last ride here.
All right. Okay. One more night in Vegas.
But look, Chuck, I do think as time goes by.
Yeah.
Bryce Harper to the White Sox might be a possibility.
Okay. Thank you, Tim, for making a second appearance on the podcast this week at the Winter Meetings. And this is all out of love for Tim Kirkchin, by the way. We are big fans of him and his work and his voice. And that's a wrap for this edition of the White Sox Talk Podcast, brought to you by Wintrust Community Bank, home of White Sox checking with free ATMs nationwide. Go to their special White Sox webpage. It's www.wintrust.com/sox. The one and only Hawk Harrelson.
Thanks, Art Chuck. And this edition of the White Sox Talk Podcast is over!